The gospel reading is from John chapter 6, verses 35 and 41 through 51. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The word of the Lord.
It seems anytime you talk about love, people like to come up with phrases, catchphrases, right? So I was writing this sermon, I don't know why, but that old catchphrase from years ago from that one movie is, "Love is never having to say you're sorry," right? Which is not true at all. But it makes sense in terms of romantic love, doesn't it? But the Bible paints a picture of a different kind of love. I like to point that out often. It's a love that isn't that hot, emotional, romantic love. And I thought I'll come up with my own little phrase about biblical love today and see if that's helpful in understanding what is going on with God in our lives. In the Bible, I think love is letting go. You know, you have to let go to give love, to give up yourself, and you also have to let go to receive love from the impediments in your life, don't you? To give love, you have to let go of your own needs, your own wants, your own rights. If you want to give love to somebody in an honest and open way, you have to give up your own privilege, your own entitlements, your own set of expectations, your own assumptions, your own self even. You can't cling to or hold on to anything because it will block the love from flowing out. On the other hand, to receive love, you also need to let go of. You need to let go of your pride. You need to let go of your false sense of unworthiness. You need to let go of whatever shame or guilt you may be carrying in your heart. In order to really receive the love that you want and deserve in life, you need to let go of your fear, your sense of obligation, your sense of control, yourself. You can't stand there with a stance of resisting or rejecting if you want to receive love in this life. I think it's fascinating that the same stance, this letting go, is necessary for both the giving and the receiving of love. Maybe the giving and the receiving are much more closely connected than we would expect. Maybe love is more of a flow. The giving and the receiving are actually one. The more we receive, the more we have to share. The more we give, the more we are open to receive more love. It's just an absolute truism that any time you truly set out to give to somebody else, you end up receiving more, don't you? That's why we have service projects for our confirmation kids. That's what they realize. That's what the banquet is about. People come there and think, we're going to serve a meal to poor people or hungry people, and they leave that night feeling, I have accomplished so much. I've been so blessed. I like to tell the story of a few years back. I went to the deathbed of one of our dear members, and I brought my best tools with me. I brought Holy Communion, and I brought the best scripture readings of comfort that I could give, and the best prayers for hope and healing that I could give, and I shared them with her and with her family there, and it was a blessed, blessed time. But then afterwards, I'm packing up my little communion kit, I'm packing up my little prayer book, and getting ready to leave, and this woman reached out and grabbed my arm and said, "Thank you, Pastor, and may God bless you." Wow. There it was. I thought I was giving and she was the one receiving. And the final word of blessing was from her to me. The giving and the receiving are much more closely connected. And just removing the blockages between that flow of love lets it flow. Do you know where in life it is most impossible to cling to anything that would prevent love from flowing? The place of ultimate letting go? It's the cross. That's why Jesus went there. That's why he knew he had to go there. To give love, he had to let go. He had to get on that cross, and to give love to this world, he had to let go of his own needs and his own wants, his own rights, his own privileges. That's exactly what his prayer was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? "Father, I don't want to receive this cross, but rather your will be done." He had to let go of his own entitlement, his own expectation, his own assumptions. He had to let go of himself on that cross. He couldn't cling to or hold on to anything. But if love is a flow, he had also to let go in order to receive love, didn't he? To most fully receive his Father's love so that he could pass it on. He had to let go of love. He had to let go of his pride. He had to let go of his sense of shame, his fear. He had to let go of his rights, his control. He had to let go of himself. He couldn't resist or reject the cross at all. And as he let go on that cross, he was most open to giving love and to receiving love totally until there was nothing left but that giving and receiving. When his last prayer, he said, "Father, into your hands, into your love, I commend myself utterly." Not clinging to one single thing else. And as I always say, 3 days later, he fell into his real life, the eternal life, into the eternal flow of love, and offers that as a gift. You know, we like to interpret the cross as some kind of bargain, some kind of transaction, but the lesson from Ephesians this morning says it is just a giving up of oneself, just a letting go. Jesus didn't have to pay off God on our behalf. He simply led the way into and through the path of love. As Ephesians says, we are to imitate Christ. We are to follow the path that he took, the journey that he took. So we too must take the journey to and through the cross so that we can live in love. How does this get played out in the real world? Well, Paul, in the letter to the Ephesians today, makes it real practical, doesn't he? He wants us to let go of all sorts of things. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for what is building up. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with which you are marked. Put away from you all bitterness and anger and wrangling and slander together with malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God. We have to let go of all those things to which we cling all too readily, don't we? We like to cling to our anger and our malice and our gossip, and we think it's a way of protecting ourselves. We like to think that by living that way, we will be safe from others, from being hurt, but it only protects us from love. And that's why Paul says, let all that go. Only love is your real protection. And the sad thing is, we don't trust it, do we? Recently, I visited with a woman who had a horrible lifetime of abuse. And she had done the very best that she had could to protect herself. And to do that, she consistently had to withdraw from a relationship. She always had to be on guard and always trusting. She self-medicated to dull the pain with alcohol. And all those things, given her terrible, out-of-control past, seemed to make sense. But as I look back at it, I realize they only kept her further trapped in her pain. All those actions that she thought were so helping her were counterproductive because they kept her from love. I asked her what I often ask people, so what is your image of God? I think that is so important. What is your image of God right now? Because you'll act on those assumptions, and if you have false assumptions about God, you're going to act in ways that are counterproductive, just like this woman. She said to me, she said, I used to be looking at God as nothing but judgmental, as cruel and as aloof, as someone who let me suffer the abuse that I did in my life. But now, she said, as I've grown up, I still trust God. I see God as more loving. She said, I see God as merciful, and I ask that God for mercy. But, I never quite feel that I'm ready to receive it. And I thought, well, that's no surprise, because you have this wall of shame and fear and controlling and unworthiness surrounding you. And so I suggested she look at God differently. And when she looked at the face of God in her mind, ask one more question, or rather hear God asking her one more question, why won't you let me love you? One last picture of how this letting go, love is letting go, plays out in the real world. It's so simple, but it's so dramatic, and it's so out there for us to follow. 2,000 years ago, in a little village in the Middle East, there was a young girl named Mary, and we know nothing about her background, and that's appropriate because she was just an absolutely ordinary person, just like each and every one of us. And all of a sudden, unexpectedly, undeserved, God comes to her, and God shows his love, and God can only do this by letting go. He comes to her and says, Mary, I want to give myself to this world. I want to give myself to you. I want you to bear my son into this world. How astonishing that God has to trust in this ordinary, absolutely ordinary person just like us, with himself. He's not going to barge into this world because that is not love. He simply offers himself as his son entirely and amazingly to her because that's what love does. And Mary, on her part, in order to receive that love, what needs she do? She simply needs to let go. You know, most of us would have every excuse in the world not to let God come into our lives in such a dramatic way. We would put ourselves up in resistance and say, no, that doesn't make sense. I have my life planned to, for her, for a single woman in that age to be unwed and pregnant would have been shocking and scandalous, and she had every right to protect herself against it. And yet, in love, she opened herself and let go and said, let it be. And through the most common and ordinary person, God's very presence became real in this world. He's waiting to do the same to us. He's already giving. The flow of love is already coming our way. All he's inviting us to do is to let go of all our resistance and let ourselves be loved. Be imitators of Christ who gave himself up into love. We don't need to make God love us. We simply need to surrender totally to that love. Amen.